All this preparation for vacation Bible school made me think of a man of valor. Because as I'm preparing, I was thinking of, you know, the Roman armor and the shields and the swords and all those things. And I was thinking about all that. And so this morning we're going to talk about a man of valor. I'm going to invite if we could have a word of prayer before we begin. Father, I pray that as we study God's Word, that Your Holy Spirit may be here with us. Help us to gain a blessing, something that we could take home and apply it to our life. It's my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so Naaman was born in Syria. He was a great and mighty man. As a matter of fact, he probably started training when he was very, very young. And when he was very, very young, it was ingrained in him. There was one main thing that was ingrained. I mean, there were a lot of things, but the one thing that was ingrained in his head was this: Israel is your number one enemy. And as he's growing up, this is what he gets every day when he goes to training. Israel is your number one enemy. There's a problem, though, that they had, and there was a problem with all the nations that they had, that Israel had a God who fought for them. And here's the thing: when they followed what God asked. Now keep that in mind, because today we say that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And God was willing to fight for them when they followed what He asked. You want some witnesses about that? We could ask the Philistines. They had a little bit of experience about this. There was another time when the Assyrians were fighting against Israel. And Gideon started with a whole bunch of men, 25,000 somewhere on there, and he ended up with 300. 300 men with jars and trumpets. And they were going to go out and face 250,000 Assyrians. I would probably have been one of the guys that would have just scooped up the water so I could go home. But here they are, 300 men. And the Lord, here's the important thing, the Lord gave them victory. Amen? And there was another occasion when the Assyrian army was going to attack King Hezekiah. You remember the story. And the Lord asked King Hezekiah to assemble a choir. And as the army started galloping toward them, the Lord asked King Hezekiah to sing. Direct the choir while they're coming. Could you imagine? Here comes the armies. I mean, like, vast amount of ants. Have you seen those documentaries where those ants just travel and millions of them, and they eat anything in their path? You better get out of the way. Well, that's how the armies were. And they were coming toward Israel. And here's King Hezekiah saying, I don't know what they were singing, the Hallelujah chorus. I don't know what they were singing. But he was probably looking behind his back, Lord, they're coming, and all we're doing here is singing. And you're wondering, well, why did the Lord ask them to do that? It's simply this: God always wants to make sure that when victories happen in our lives, that He receives all the honor and glory. No wonder there was fear in the enemies that Israel had. Naaman was very good at something else. He was very good at what we called guerrilla warfare. Today we would call him terrorist. He was very good about that. He would get a few men and what we would probably call commandos. and send them out to the cities in the evening. And these men would go into the city. They will kill everything in sight. They would loot the city, take care of all the possessions. And the young people, they would take them so they could be sold as slaves somewhere. And the plan was to attack before they could consult God. In the evening, when they were asleep, when they were consulting that mighty God that they had. And so this plan of attack that Naaman had, it's sort of like the plan of attack that the devil has. He will attack you when you have not, or will not, or haven't consulted God. Why? Because he knows that when we are not with God, he knows when we are not following God, we are weak. And he knows when to attack. And so one day these men go out into the city, they raid the city, they took a little girl, and they killed her parents, they took everything that they had, they burned the house down, they took this little girl, and she was taken to a marketplace where she was put up for sale. And so enter Naaman's wife, who was just walking around because she thought she needed a little bit more help. She was going to look for another person that would help her, like if she didn't have all the people she needed to do her work. But she needed somebody else. And so one day she's walking there in the marketplace and she sees this little girl that's for sale. Oh, that's nice. I need a little girl like that that could be my slave to help me with all the things. And so she bought her. And one of the things that we kind of gathered that this little girl was a very content little girl, very happy. Although they had killed her parents and all the bad things that she had gone through, she's still happy. She's still willing to worship God. You know, there is something of a lesson there. Because when you get discouraged, when bad things are happening, what is the first thing that we do? I don't want to go to church tomorrow because I don't feel bad. When things are going wrong in your life, this is where you need to be. The place where God can and will sustain you. So this little girl still worshiped God. Naaman, captain of all the armies of Syria, he could do anything. He had all the power. He was this brave man. He was also mean, strong, and boy, everyone was afraid of Naaman. It would be like if Naaman would be walking on one side of the street and you'd be going toward Naaman, you tell your buddy, you know what, here comes Naaman, let's go to the other side, because we might look at him the bad, you know, he might think we looked at him the wrong way, or we might not smile at him the way he wanted us to smile at him, so let's just leave. Naaman went into a place with his guards and stuff. All the people just, oh, let's get out of here. Naaman is here because we don't want any trouble with Naaman. And so Naaman was known to be this kind of man. One day Naaman, because remember, Naaman was out to destroy God and his people. That was his whole purpose in life, his main goal. And so one day Naaman was walking around and he all of a sudden began to feel numbness in his fingers. We've felt those before. Have you ever felt that before? I have. You kind of try to shake it up, get some blood into there because it's kind of getting numb. And he began to feel this and he said, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, after a few days, a little bit of swelling. And soon, he could not feel his fingertips. There was nothing there. Leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that attacks the nerve endings, and if they don't take care of themselves, it's a big problem. Because you and I could be doing something, and we could be hammering, and we hammer our finger, and there's pain. And if we smacked it really good, you know, blood and everything, but we take care of it. A person with leprosy is doing the same thing, hammers his finger, and just smiles and says, "Oh, that's nice. I don't feel no pain." And so they don't take care of it, and pretty soon what happens is that finger starts getting black, starts getting gangrene, and they don't feel all this. And one day they might just be walking along and bump their finger and it falls off, and they don't know. And they get home and, oh, there's something missing here. This is leprosy. It's very bad. And Naaman, being the man that he was, he says, "I am Naaman. I am the captain of the king's army. I cannot be sick." And yet, he was. And so, one day, this little girl that was their slave, goes to Naaman's wife, and all naive, this little girl that she is, and tells her, "Look, if you want my master to be healed, he has to go to the prophet that is in Samaria." Now the wife, Naaman's wife, was so kind. She goes, "Come here, little girl. Let me tell you something about what's going on." She said, "Naaman is out to destroy your people and your God. And you want him to go and consult a prophet in Samaria?" And the little girl looks up at her and says, "Yes. And I know that if he goes, he will be healed." Now, could you imagine that here? That the person that had all the right to say this, "Oh, he has leprosy? Good. I'm glad he got leprosy. And I hope he dies because of all the things he did to me and my family. I just hope he dies. He deserves it." She had all the right to say that, but actually she didn't. She was the one giving him a way to be cured. And so Naaman's wife goes to consult with him. And after she explained what this little girl had asked, Naaman just in this furor says, "You want me to do what? Don't you remember what my job is? My job is to destroy Israel. That's what I'm here for." And the wife kind of looks at him and says, "Yes, I do know that, but is there a better way?" And then she says, "Let me ask you a few questions. One, have you consulted all doctors?" "Yes." "Okay. Let me ask you a second question. Have you consulted all the doctors in other countries?" Naaman thought about it and he said, "Yes." And then the wife says, "Then what else is there to do?" So Naaman goes to the king. The king is there. And of course, you know, there's leprosy involved here. So the king is here. And Naaman is way out there. It's like, "Yes, you're my most trusted commander in chief of all my armies. But you stay way out there." And he says, "What do you want, Naaman?" I found a way to be cured." "Oh, you have?" "Yes, I will go to the prophet." And he starts out and the king just stops and says, "What? Are you crazy? I thought leprosy was nerves, not psychological problems. We, the king reminded him, it is part of our policy. It's part of our constitution. We destroy Israel and their God. That's what we do. And he said, yes, I know, king, but if there is no other way, I have to go. And so the king finally calls for the scribe. The scribe calls and the scribe comes and says, I want you to write a letter to the king. And not only did they write the letter, but he took 10 sets of clothing as gifts. He took gold thread and fine silk and all the things that they had back then. He took 10 talents of silver. 10 talents of silver is about 750 pounds. He took 6,000 shekels of gold. That's about 150 pounds of gold. And so Naaman, you could see, was taking a lot of money, a lot of gifts, and I'm pretty sure that he did not travel alone. The Bible says he traveled with some servants, but I'm pretty sure he traveled with other guards. If Israel had post offices, okay, Naaman would be in all of those. Because Naaman was Israel's most wanted. I'm just trying to paint the picture here where Naaman was going. So when the king found out, this Israel's king, that Naaman was coming to him, he got afraid. He was really, really afraid. Don't tell me he's coming here. He said, yes, my Lord, he is coming here. And he is on his way. But this is that powerful man. He's scary. He's going to kill us. No, he says he's coming in peace. So, and as a matter of fact, as we speak, he's coming up the steps. And he goes, King, everybody hide. This is a trap. I could just feel it. Naaman comes in, you know, all the, oh, king, live forever, kneeling and all the things that they did. And he goes, clothes, please, here are the clothes. And the money, claps twice, here comes the money. And here comes all the things that they had brought. And the letter, please, letter. And here comes the letter to the king. And the king starts reading. He opens it. And the letter says, I am sending my officer Naaman with this letter. Please cure him of his leprosy. And the king is like, what do you mean heal him? I cannot heal him. Am I God? And the king says, I knew it. See, now he's going to go back to his place and he's going to have some kind of excuse to gather all his armies and come after me, come after us and destroy us because I did not heal him. And so the king is reading this letter and he gets all sad and upset. And you know, it was a custom back then that when you got sad and upset and sorrowful, that you started tearing your clothes. And so the king is reading this letter going, and while the king is tearing his kingly clothes, one of the servants comes to Naaman, runs up to him and says, excuse me, sir. I think we made a mistake. Made a mistake? Yes. We were supposed to go to the prophet, not the king. Oh, king, you can stop tearing your clothes now. I'm sorry. There's been a mistake. We needed to go see the prophet, not you. And he's in the middle of tearing his clothes and now look at me. No. So they went to look for the prophet, him, Naaman, everybody else, and they started, because they didn't know where the prophet lived. So they started at the hills. You know, Naaman was used to living in big homes. He goes, someone of this importance must live in a place like this. They started looking at the big homes in the hills. And they searched and they searched and they couldn't find anything. Then they went to the middle class homes and they searched and they searched and they couldn't find prophet. And then they decided to go way out in the sticks, where they had gotten some directions on how to get to the prophet's home. And they were nearing, they got to the place where the homes were made out of mud. And they find a home there made out of adobe, kind of like leaning a little bit. Grass was growing on the roof and stuff, all kinds of things. And this is where they found the man of God. And so Naaman gets all his people ready. There, all the gifts, all the soldiers in attention, the servants on one side, everything's ready for this big thing. And Naaman knocks. And then you finally, you hear that door open. And as soon as that, it was the servant. But Naaman didn't know. Naaman says, "I am Naaman, the captain of the armies of..." "Oh, yeah, we know who you are. We know who you are. My master says, go to the River Jordan and wash yourself 7 times. "Yes, but..." "Thank you." Naaman was very angry. He could not believe the kind of reception he just got. "I am Naaman, the captain of the king's armies." I thought he was going to come out and recognize me and give me all the praise and then wave his hand and I'll put it on me and I would be cleansed. But he didn't. What did he do? He sent a servant. And by the way, sending a servant to greet a person in high honor was an insult. And so Naaman is insulted. He's mad. And now he said he tells me to go take a bath 7 times. What was he trying to tell me? Have any of you been to the Jordan? I haven't. So that's why I'm asking. They say it's a very, very beautiful place. But there's something here with the Jordan. The Jordan, when it rains, it gets flooded. And when it gets flooded, it gets really, really muddy. Now let me ask, have you ever seen the Rogue River when it gets muddy? When it rains, it gets muddy. Well, the Jordan is worse. And here, Naaman is thinking, there are 2 other rivers in Damascus, clean rivers. And this prophet chose the dirtiest river of them all, and he sends me there? No. I am Naaman. I am Naaman. I am the captain of the king's army. I am going to one of those 2 rivers, and I'm going to dunk 7 times, but in a clean river. Why? Because I am Naaman, the captain of the king's army. And so he takes off. He starts going towards one of those rivers. And so the servants have learned by this time that when Naaman is angry, you are quiet. You don't say a word. You don't make remarks. You just go where he leads. That is the best way. And so after a few miles, one of the servants finally gets brave enough and he kind of maybe rides up alongside of him and says, "Excuse me, sir, may I speak with you?"
What do you want?
That would have been enough for me to say, oh, nothing. I need to go back in line. But the servant was brave and he said, sir, if the prophet would have asked you to do something great, would you have done it? And Naaman's writing and he's thinking, well, of course. I'm Naaman. I am the captain of the king's army. And so the servant says, I mean, if he would have asked you to fight an entire army with a stick, would you have done that great thing? And he says, Naaman said, of course. There's nothing. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm not afraid of any situation. I am Naaman. Then why, the servant says, as they're in the chariots, then why don't you just do the easy thing? Halt! And the servant says, oh no. I could just see my head rolling now. Oh, I shouldn't have spoken. And looks at him and he says, you're right. Why shouldn't I do just the simple thing? To the Jordan! Oh, Naaman says to the Jordan, and we'll all go to the Jordan. And there was this kind of sneaky smile in all the servants' lips. He's going to the Jordan. Yes, sir. They turned around, they all go to the Jordan, they all go. And when they get to the Jordan, Naaman gets off, turns around and makes an announcement to all the soldiers, all the servants, and he says, what you're about to see, you will not repeat it to anyone. It is a national secret. And if any of you repeat it, it's off with your head. Clear? Yes, sir. And so Naaman gets down. He goes, he walks to the river, and as he's walking in, he's kind of, and the water's, you know, getting higher and higher, and he looks back, and the servants are going a little deeper. And so he finally gets to a place where, you know, it's deep enough for him to start dunking. A few more steps, sir. There, right there. And he looks around and he dips once. And he comes up. The servants are trying to just to hold their laughter because all the mud is caked all over him. He dips a second time. Nothing. He dips a third and a fourth time. But by this time, the servants are really enjoying this. And all the captains of the army, they're just enjoying all this. Fifth, sixth time. And still nothing. Could you imagine what Naaman must have been thinking after the sixth time? You know, when we act in faith, the devil will try to discourage you. Naaman was acting out in faith. And some of you are acting out in faith in many things. Sabbath keeping. Some of you will have Sabbath tests. Why do I know? Because of the economy. They're going to start asking many questions. Well, you have to come in and work on Sabbath now. Well, we had an agreement, but yes, but there are 20 people waiting in line for your job. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We believe by faith that Jesus Christ is coming soon and there'll be many people that will be mocking you. Yeah, that's a fairy tale. What are you going to do when that happens? We believe that our bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to keep it clean. We need to eat healthfully. And people are going to laugh at you and say, well, you can't drink that, but it's good. No. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Lord has asked me to keep it clean. And when you act in faith, the devil will try to do all he can to discourage you. That I could promise you. And so Naaman was there with the sixth time, and then the seventh time. All eyes are on Naaman. He has the spotlight. Seventh time. I could just see it. Even the horses that were chewing, they kind of turned around and stopped. They wanted to see what was going to happen the seventh time. And so he goes in and he comes up, and the Bible says that his flesh was as nice, as soft as the flesh of a baby. Wow. Wow. And he looks around and he cleans it off, and he cannot believe that his flesh, that he had been healed. And when he sees his new skin, he runs out of that muddy river, and now he doesn't care. He does not care about a little bit of mud on him. He goes and he finds the prophet of God. He goes and looks for him again. And he didn't care the way he looked, that little mud he had on him. He goes and he knocks in the house. And this time Elijah comes out and he says, may I help you? Are you the prophet of the Lord? Yes, I am. Blessed be the God of Israel, because he has healed me of my leprosy. Did you get that? This was the man that, since he was young, was ingrained in him that he should destroy God's people and their God. And here he is in front of the prophet's house saying, blessed be the God of Israel. Why? And the question this morning is, if God would ask you to do something great, would you do it? Think about it. If God would ask you to do something great, would you do it? Or let me put the question this way. If God asked you to do something that you felt was not your gift, but God asked you to do it, would you do that? Lord, it's not my gift. I can't do that. But I didn't say if the pastor asked you, I didn't say if the first elder asked you, I didn't say if the president of the conference asked you. I did not say that. I said, if God asked you to do something great for Him, would you do it? And yet, how much easier it is to go into the water and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's much, much easier to do that. And Naaman says, bring the gifts. Bring all the gifts. Here are some clothes, which by the looks of it, you really need. Here are 10 sets for you. Here's some money. And by the way, with this money, you could buy yourself a better house. And here they're bringing all those things to him. And Elisha says, you could keep your things. I don't need him. I don't need him. Just continue to praise the name of the Lord. Young people are sometimes willing to do great things just to be part of the crowd. They do. Young people sometimes do really dumb things to impress their friends. They do. How do I know that? Because I was a young people once. And sometimes to fit in, they ask you to do something crazy. And what do? You do it. You do it. And some have fallen into the trap and they start smoking or drinking or doing drugs because they wanted to do something great to impress their friends. And the devil knows that. And he takes advantage of that. Sometimes we are willing to do great things for the wrong reasons. And the question this morning is, why don't you do, or why don't we do great things to honor and to glorify God? Great things. I was going to do a little something different. I'm going to ask the trio that we had, you could come up. We're going to sing our closing song right now. Okay. After the closing song, I have just some closing thoughts. But at this time, you may remain seated. Open your hymnals to number 306. 306. And think about what this song says, and then we'll close with some final thoughts.
Blessed Lord, to thy prayer.
I believe that this morning the Lord is really not asking us to go out and do great things. But I do think that He is asking us to accept by grace that which He has done for you. And He's really asking us to take the simple way out, which is to be washed by His cleansing power. That's all He's asking. You know, some people never make a decision for Christ. They never do. And some, they say, someday I will do it. I know they have truth. I understand about Christianity. I know all that. But someday I will do it. And some make a decision for Christ. But their decision is so shallow with lack of commitment that it really doesn't take root. And when the problems and the trials come, the devil comes into their lives and they start doubting. And when their doubt comes into their life, they leave Jesus Christ. Worst of all, there are those people that say, I'm just a good person. I don't want to have anything to do with the devil or God. I don't hurt anybody. I don't do bad things. But don't bring me this devil and God thing. All right? It's like, I want to be a Christian, but don't tell me anything about prayer, about Bible study, or about witnessing. I don't want any of that. I just want to be a Christian. I want to believe in God. I want to go to heaven. Why do we make it so complicated sometimes? It is not complicated. Most of you, most of us, have probably been baptized. And we have probably accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts. But my question to you this morning is, have you surrendered all to Jesus? All to Jesus. That's the question this morning. You're willing. I know when I asked the question, some of you were thinking, am I willing to do great things for the Lord? What is His next question? If I raise my hand, if I say yes, what is He going to ask? That's a very tricky question. No, it isn't. It's simply, are you willing to do great things for God, if He asked you. Now, if He never asks, oh, you're off the hook, I guess. Are you willing to do? Listen, you're willing to do great things for your friends. I know that. Why? Because if a friend calls you, hey, I need some help right now. I'm in the middle of this. Are you busy? No, I'm not busy. I could go help you right away. You're willing to do great things for your spouse, right? Honey, I know you're going to go out and play with your friends, but I need this. Okay, I will come do this. I'll do this for you. Oh, you're the greatest. The only one, but the greatest. You're willing to do great things for your spouse. And I know you're willing to do great things for God. But that is not what He's asking this morning. This morning is simply this. Are you willing to give Him your life completely, 100%, and surrender your life to Me? All of it. All. And that question, I cannot answer. That question, you need to answer to God in your heart. What will it take for you to give 100% of yourself to Him? 100%. Think about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that sacrifice that He made on our behalf. And thank you for the cleansing power that that sacrifice brought to us. Father, this morning we come before you to once again ask you to come into our hearts. Help us to recognize the magnitude of the sacrifice you made on our behalf. And then help us to answer the question, how much of ourselves are we willing to give to you? Be with us now during the rest of the Sabbath day and continue to help us to honor your name as you would want us to. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.